broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
One, we're shaping their beliefs. We're actually teaching them that this is their primary value.
There's a lot more opportunity for rejection, you know, just by the sheer numbers.
At this point, in addition to maintaining a no-fly zone, protecting civilian populations.
My first reaction is pretty awesome that people
Oh, yeah, world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. We welcome you to the program here. And, of course, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, as we continue with Radio for Patriots by Patriots, marching into the future, taking along with us the values that have made this country great. The values, the ethics, the actions, really, is what we're talking about. Action, because actions speak louder than words. Actions speak much louder than words. We've got a lot of words. Or in the words of the poet, God made many poets, but very little poetry. Let's make some poetry tonight. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And remember, at our final hour of the show, we do our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard as we take a look at the news of the day and kind of break that down for you. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, Tampa, WHNZ 1250 AM in the great city of Tampa, and in Jackson, Mississippi, WYAB 93.1 FM. And again, the website, philhendryshow.com. Right now, there's live streaming video of our show if you want to visit us. We are online at philhendryshow.com with our Phil TV in HD video feed. And behind me here, I think, is CNN right now. It is, although we did have Butch Dodson's weather or something like that.
Brad Dodson, I think his name.
Brad Dodson's weather. And on Saturday night, during our Saturday night show, I think we were featuring two things, National Hockey League action and Mein Kampf. All right. 877-876-PHIL. Here is a story that we're going to be bringing on Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Institute, Holistic Center, actually, in a moment to talk with us about. That's been going on for 20 years in communities all over this country. And now it takes on some of the trappings of the immigration debate. And I am talking about, believe it or not, leaf blowers. Leaf blowers in Orange County, California, have become a cause for concern, as they had become in Santa Barbara, California, and other areas across the country. And communities want to outlaw the use of these things because they're loud. They create a very, very difficult time for anybody hearing them to sleep or concentrate or anything else, not to mention the pollution. Joining me from Mill Valley, California right now is Brad Rifkin, who has taken up sort of the plight of not just immigrant rights, but also illegal or undocumented immigrant rights. And you have, Dean, some meetings twice a week there at the Holistic Center, correct?
We do, Phil.
And are you inviting undocumented immigrants to these?
We are. And so far, fortunately for us, we have not had, anyone with so much initiative and such a need to disrupt the debate in this country that they've sent the police arrest.
Well, I'm not talking about sending the police, but you are hosting undocumented workers, and you're making an issue of this as you talk about this what you call a labor problem.
Well, it is very much a labor problem, and I'll tell you why. The use of a gas blower do this kind of gardening work has been used for a long time. It is a very well-established piece of equipment used by individuals who are hired to do this kind of yard work. Many of the people that are hired to do the yard work that we're talking about are undocumented workers, and to eliminate from their arsenal of tools and other implements that are used when one is hired to do this work, is to force them into a position that they have come to this country to get away from. And that is really to be down on their hands and knees, picking up this stuff, getting down into the dirt where there is any kind of disease, every kind of fungal infection, picking this up, crawling around in this dirt and in this mud, and in the process losing just a little bit of their humanity as well as slowing down the work. So, we have stood very strongly against this, and will continue to.
Now, you don't live in Marin County in San Francisco. This debate is not taking place, and yet you have lent yourself, your voice, and others to what's happening in Orange County, in Oregon, in Denver, and all these cities across the country, correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right. Why are you going around the country and taking care of everybody else's business?
Well, you call it taking care of other people's business.
That's exactly what I call it, because, this is a situation, it's kind of like the atheists, they're leaving their state to go into Washington State or elsewhere to figure out how they can tell other people how to do things, and disrupt their community life.
No, we're not. What we're doing is, we are saying, I don't think we're doing that at all. I think what we're doing is bringing an ethic that we have developed here in the Bay Area. To others, and that I resist, and I will tell you, Phil, quite forcefully, I resist the notion that we are disruptive. We are educating people.
You're educating people to what?
If you'd let me finish.
But you're educating people to what? To get rid of leaf blowers is to force the undocumented worker into a supplicant kind of position?
It is to force the undocumented worker into a caste which is reminiscent of the untouchable.
Oh, boy.
And let me explain that.
The untouchable of India.
Yes, the untouchable of India. And let me explain that.
Quite literally.
What? If you'll allow me, Phil, to force a workman to give up a modern tool like the leaf blower and to crawl around in the dirt to pick leaves up and garbage. If you've read the news, you know that we have in the state of California something called valley fever, which is acquired by breathing the dirt and the dust of certain sections of the state. One of them is the San Joaquin Valley. Well, that dirt and that dust carries and is carried into our major metropolitan areas. So you now have our undocumented workers who are crawling around in the dirt if we get rid of these leaf blowers and crawling around in the dust.
What does crawling around have to do with taking a rake and raking something into a pile?
Because eventually you can take your rake and you can use it to whatever effect you can use it for a while. But the fact is the rake is not going to be effective over the long run. Most of the illegals and the undocumented workers are eventually going to just opt for using their hands because they can't pick it up fast enough. Now, when you get rid of this leaf blower, Phil, you are cutting down on their ability as well to make a living.
And so, how does that work to make a living? Well, they're not. You mentioned they're not going from one job to the next as quickly.
That is absolutely correct, and so they can't make as much money.
All right, let me first of all interrupt you here, Councilman Rush Hill of Newport Beach. I hate blowers. They drive us crazy in our house. He's not alone. Residents in Corona Del Mar, they organized a petition in 2009 and surveyed their neighbors. Their complaints were wide-ranging, including debris falling into the storm drains. We've had complaints from across the country from people in different cities who where these leaf blowers are allowed that the dust gets onto their cars, that the dust gets into their that gets onto their property, whether it's a driveway or whether it's a patio or whatever, that the dust that is kicked up by these leaf blowers carries over into other people's yards, which basically means this valley fever you're talking about, other people are going to get.
Well, we're talking primarily here, the valley fever from the dust, you're saying?
Yeah.
I am talking right now from the standpoint of the undocumented worker. He is at risk.
And what about the people who live in the houses where he's blowing this dust?
I'm talking about if you'll just allow me to stay with the point of the undocumented worker is at risk. And as far as the dust getting on people's cars, I got to tell you something. I had to laugh when I heard that one because I don't know of any car that is worth a man dying from suffocation, which is essentially what happens when that fungus gets into your lungs.
Yeah, but you're talking about these guys, these workers being saved from valley fever, and blowing the dust into somebody else's yard. I think what you're talking about is a little bit of an evasion here, Dean. You're saying that the undocumented worker may not have to suffer from the valley fever, or whatever this dust or this dirt is that he has to breathe, but you're blowing it into somebody else's yard.
And we also have, but you keep skipping around. I've got a two-pronged attack here. My attack is two-pronged. It is the dirt and the filth that he has to breathe, and then it's the fact that the undocumented worker, without the leaf blower, has to crawl around. You keep missing. I told you, crawling around on his...
Crawling around on his hands and knees.
That is exactly right. Putting him in a supplicant position, which makes him not unlike...
an untouchable in India. And I'm telling you that I find that argument to be way over the top. That
What's way over the top about it?
You got to be kidding me about untouchables in India. Untouchables in India are cleaning out toilets.
Well, I'm talking about the American version of the untouchable.
And let's talk a little bit about the noise of these things. The fact that, for instance, I work late. I work a third shift, as do a lot of the people that are listening to me. In the morning, I'm going to hear a leaf blower out there, as I've heard them many times. What about us?
Well, if you choose to work late at night, it's your...
I choose to work late at night because this is where I work. This is where I've worked in radio most of my career. This is my shift.
Well, Phil, you have chosen that. You, because you happen to enjoy this time of night. You may enjoy socializing this time of night. I don't know. I to be honest with you, I don't really understand people that work at night. I find it to be a dangerous time. I think that you can only get into trouble with the people that you meet.
And so I got an undocumented worker outside my window blowing a leaf blower at 8 o'clock in the morning to what? Remind me of the good time to be awake? You got to be kidding me. I mean, I do a radio show, but people are working 24 hours a day.
People are working 24 hours a day is right, and a lot of them are working at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they're working with a leaf blower. And the point that I'm making, all right, is that they have the same rights as the rest of us when it comes to being able to make a living.
They're undocumented workers, as you like to call them. They're illegal immigrants.
They are living here, are they not?
They're illegal immigrants.
But they live here, and they're using the leaf blower to make a living.
They're undocumented, many of them, not all of them, but they're using a leaf blower to keep me awake. I'm not even saying send them. You're not even hearing me addressing the immigrant situation.
Well, you're telling me that they're illegal.
Well, I'm just saying. They're undocumented workers. Don't you think that you're pushing it a little bit? I mean, you're talking about their right to use a leaf blower. These guys could possibly be picked up and sent back to Mexico. I'm just saying, use a rake.
So we take the undocumented worker that crawled under barbed wire and over to get to this country, and we tell him, you know what? Not only have you crawled on your hands and knees to get here, keep crawling. Boy.
No, that's not what I said at all. I said use a rake. 877-876-PHIL is our number. So there is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California. Put him on hold, bud. I got to get to a break here. From the Northern California Holistic Center, as we talk about undocumented or documented workers, people who are doing yard work using leaf blowers, which are noisy and which are dirty and which are smelly and which a lot of towns want to outlaw. And Dean is speaking on behalf of those workers saying, you get rid of those leaf blowers and you force them to rake leaves, you put them in a supplicant, untouchable position. 877-876-PHIL. Your phone call is coming up next for our guest, Dean Wheeler. Next hour, we have Brad Rifkin on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. And we're talking about leaf blowers. And this is something that's been going on for a long time in this country, you know, whether or not we should have these loud, noisy contraptions. But it's very interesting, Dean, that you and people, you know, who are in agreement with you, are talking about this as an immigrant rights issue, you know.
Well, it is. is an immigrant rights issue, Phil. I don't know how much more I can talk to you about and try to explain this to you.
All right, let's talk about the immigrants. Let's talk about the undocumented immigrant who's sitting out by my window at 8 o'clock in the morning using a leaf blower, keeping me awake, driving me out of my mind.
Well, I have to tell you something. I would rather that you keep this conversation, and because I was talking to your producer earlier, focused on the documented worker. And
why?
Why? Because I feel that I'm on much safer ground talking about a documented worker than I am an undocumented. You happen to have perhaps... if not the moral high ground, the legal high ground there, and it's not fair to me. And
well, if it's not fair to you, that's what the point then. I mean, you're sitting here talking about the undocumented worker having rights, and yet you don't want to discuss that because you're not on very safe ground.
Except for the fact that it shows a decided racial component to your argument.
Racial? Why?
I don't think we have to go into that. We are talking primarily about Hispanic people, and so you don't want the Mexican using a leaf blower.
No, it's got nothing to do with it. You just got done telling me, Dean, that this would you'd feel much safer if I was talking to you about the legal as opposed to the illegal, because you've got no moral positioning there. Isn't that what you just said?
No, that is not what I said.
Well, that's exactly what I heard you say. I heard you say that you'd rather keep this on the legal worker.
No, I said I feel very comfortable in talking about either one. I just think that there is a racial component to any of you people who talk about leaf blowers being too loud. What if a German had it? I don't think you'd be upset.
If a German was out there with one, I'd probably be more pissed off.
Why?
I probably would. I don't know. Call that a component of bigotry. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over here to Ron in Macon, Georgia on the Phil Hendry Show. Ron, go ahead. You're on with Dean Wheeler here as we talk about leaf blowers.
Yeah, I was pointing about the leaf blowers. If they're using a blower to blow that stuff and get that valley fever, they themselves are going to be susceptible to that. They're going to be more susceptible than if they would have used a rake in the first place. And and furthermore, they shouldn't even be here as an undocumented alien.
Do you have a Ron, this is Dean Wheeler. Do you have a leaf blower law in your town with regard to the noise ordinance or anything along those lines?
I haven't heard of anything like that over here.
I see. We want to compile the list of communities that may need our intercession.
Well, see, what you're doing is you're looking for towns that you can go and butt your nose into.
You haven't even addressed the issue that they themselves are more susceptible to that fever than if they would have used a
That's a very good point, except they do wear surgical masks.
Well, that's interesting. They do wear surgical masks.
So,
but the,
so
thing
the people
that
in the neighborhood should be wearing surgical masks, too?
Exactly. They passing those out?
The residents?
What is that? Are you telling me that an illegal immigrant has got to go out and purchase how many hundreds of surgical masks and pass them out in the neighborhood?
If they don't like it, they should be moving back to their country.
We don't have the money.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think they should do. Go buy a bunch of surgical masks and pass them out door to door.
You know that is absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible with the money that they make. And now what you propose to do is...
You know, Dean, the original, and thank you very much, Ron, for your call, 877-876-PHIL. The original point that I made here was about the documented and undocumented worker, and you didn't want to talk about undocumented, and now it looks like I've caught you in another one.
What?
The whole surgical mask thing.
I said that valley fever was a dangerous, yes, it was dangerous, but only if they're breathing it. When you get down into the dirt and you're picking this up, that's where you are most susceptible. Not when you're using a leaf blower, because you're blowing it away from yourself.
And what about the neighborhood? The people in the neighborhood?
The dust has settled by the time the people come out of their houses after the leaf blower's been used. You have to understand the culture of the Mexicans and all of them that are doing the gardening. But for you to want them to get down on their hands and knees and lift this dirt up with the leaves and the vermin and the disease is to relegate them to a tuberculosis ward I fear for them, Phil.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with this overwrought drama. 877-876-PHIL. Dean Wheeler wants to allow them to keep using those gas blowers, even though they're driving everybody nuts. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Driving people nuts? Oh, my God.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here. Radio for Patriots by Patriots, and our Patriot line is 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with me is Dean Wheeler. He's with the Northern California Holistic Center, and we're talking about the use of leaf blowers. And it's gotten into a discussion of the rights of immigrants. But really, you know, an immigrant who's here legally, Dean, has every right to conduct himself as American law sees fit. We're talking here about the possibility of illegal immigrants.
Let me make a point here, Phil. You have used over and over the term illegal immigrant, which is considered by those of us who have advocated on the part of immigrant rights an obscenity, an absolute obscenity. We use the term.
What do you say?
We use the term undocumented. And I would appreciate it if you, as well as the people that are calling your program tonight, use the term undocumented, because the obscenity of saying illegal not only degrades you, and it not only degrades me, it degrades not only your callers, it degrades the immigrant himself. We're here to simply, we have one message and one message only. Give them the tools they need to do their jobs. And they
even the undocumented worker?
They have rights just like you and I. And
what rights does an illegal, if you'll pardon me, or an undocumented worker have, other than you have the right to get on that bus and go home?
You've just used that term again.
And all right, an undocumented worker.
They have the right to be dignified and for to be treated in a dignified way, which means you don't force them to get down on their bellies and stick their noses right into the dirt to pick up leaves when they have a leaf blower. The only problem with a leaf blower are the wealthy who don't like the noise. And I can assure you that were people getting up out of bed earlier, and getting up out of bed perhaps at a time that our undocumented workers do.
You mean our illegal workers?
All right, so you're saying that to provoke me.
Well, I'm not saying it to provoke. Well, maybe I am, because here's the thing. When you limit my ability to say what it is that I want to say about the immigrant problem, and that's what you've made this into, you know.
Well, we're not just involved, Phil, in the issue of leaf blowers. We're involved in the issue of rights for all of our undocumented workers, and that is the right to be licensed to drive an automobile. Obviously, the right to be licensed to drive an automobile means that they have the right to some kind of an identification, and that means that, yes, some kind of a, not a birth certificate, but...
All right, so in other words, to get the car to drive, the license isn't the thing, it's what?
Well, you have to have something that proves they have residency, okay? And look, these people went through a lot to get here. They're harder workers than the average person. They deserve our respect and our dignity.
And they deserve a car, and they deserve a birth certificate?
What are you going to use when you go to apply for the driver's license?
You use a birth certificate that says you're born in the United States of America. You are telling me that they get a birth certificate that says they're born here?
They get some kind of a certification that says they would, that they like a birth certificate. They have legitimacy.
And how about if they just become citizens?
Again, you're using a tone of voice, and you've used illegal again. And
oh, come on, Dean. You know, you're turning this into a semantical debate, and you're making this about my mood, and that's not what it's about at all. It's about this dance that we're doing about whether these guys are get driver's licenses or not. Here's Craig in, where is that? New Hampshire. Craig, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Phil? But I was saying that you need to have not a birth certificate, but a...
No, I understand. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Phil, I listen to you all the time. Me and my brother. He just happens to be sleeping right now, and my ears are on fire with this guy. He says you shouldn't call them illegals, but, do we call them? I'm not really sure.
You call them undocumented. Undocumented.
Undocumented workers. Well, I'm a contractor.
Exactly.
I've been a contractor for 35 years. My brother, my whole family, my great father, grandfather, we're all contractors. We have to have workman's comp, liability.
Do you live with your brother?
And if there's a hazard going on, then you need respirators and such like that. That all works under OSHA. And if these guys got to get down on their hands and knees to do the job, well, believe me, I care a lot. I do all kinds of stuff. And if we don't have the proper equipment, we don't get on the job. I don't know where you get off saying that.
You're talking about you live with your brother. You live with your brother? How old are you?
Me? I'm 42 years old.
Well, why are you still living with your brother?
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, this is my fifth home.
It's weird.
I've owned my own home since I was 26 years old. This is my fifth home. Excuse me?
Your fifth home. Well, why do you live with a brother? Is your brother homeless?
It's none of your business. We're not talking about that. We're talking about
Mr. Johnson.
We're
contractors. We work together. We've been a family all our lives.
Oh, I understand that, sir.
This is our fifth home.
Do you need to live with him? Do you have to live with him? Doesn't he have his own home to go to?
What? He didn't say he lived with his brother. You don't live with your brother.
We're living here in Danville, New Hampshire, and we're building another house in Windham on the lake. And when we finish that, we'll sell that, and we'll buy another house, and we'll build that one.
Okay.
And that'll be our seventh house. I don't understand.
Well, then you don't
have
a problem. What I'm saying is the following. If you bring an undocumented worker onto the job site and you give him a leaf blower, you're doing something that's a great thing. You're helping the undocumented worker do the job.
He's not helping anything. He's got an undocumented...
I would never hire an undocumented worker. I have to have social security numbers for every one of my workers for my workman's comp, or they can't get on the job.
Well, what about a driver's license? What about a driver's license? What about giving them a driver's license at least so
they
can get to the job?
Have a driver's license.
Oh, they don't?
Well, of course not.
But they have to have one to drive a car. Don't they?
Yes. They don't.
In order to get to the job site.
Excuse me?
In order...
What are you saying, Dean?
In order for them to get to the job site, they have to have a driver's license. That's what I'm asking the man.
And I'm saying, no, they don't. Sometimes we hire through the state, which sends us workers that we have to pay prevailing wages for, and they come in a bus. Okay, so we know a lot of people. Yes, that is right. They show up in a box.
He didn't say in a box. He said in a bus. They drop them off and pick them up. He said in a bus, not a box.
I heard the man say in a box.
Bus. B-U-S.
All right.
That's
all
right.
So you're in favor. You're in favor, in other words, of the undocumented worker, but you can't hire them.
No, wait a minute. He can't hire them because he has to have social security numbers and everything else. What you want
to do,
Dean, is you want to get them all hired. Dean wants to get them all hired. You want to get them driver's licenses. You want to give them the reasonable facsimile of a birth certificate. You want to give them the right to use a leaf blower. You want to give them everything.
They have rights like everyone else. In fact, I'm disappointed.
I cannot put them on my job.
That's disappointing.
I can't put them on.
You must. You must. Don't you understand? You must.
It's illegal for me to do that.
He's a better worker than five of the white boys you got out there. You know that.
All right. That's enough of that garbage. Thank you very much. Hey, listen, Craig, thanks for your call. Our number is thank you. What is he talking about, man? Dean?
Did you hang up on me?
No, I put you on hold so I could just get some control over this conversation. What are you talking about? He must hire undocumented workers.
Well, I've worked in the field of the undocumented, and by the way, thank you for not saying illegal immigrant. Because when I hear you say that, when I hear anyone say illegal immigrant, it's like getting shot in the gut. I don't know if you've ever been shot in the stomach. I haven't, and thank God, and I knock wood for that. But I can imagine it's like being shot right in the stomach. When I hear someone say illegal immigrant, it's an obscenity, so thank you.
And illegal immigrant. You know,
Well, you can be a child, but I'm glad that you didn't use that phrase when it would have been really... It's bigotry not to hire someone based on origin or based upon their lack of paperwork. And
well, you know, you want to rewrite the laws of every country. That's what you're going to do. You'll be rewriting the laws of every country.
No, I'm not rewriting the laws of every country. We're talking about America.
No, you're rewriting the laws of every country in the world because every country in the world has law regarding immigration. And only in America does it seem like we're not supposed to have that. Only in America does it seem as if we think of ourselves as so special that we bring anybody in, regardless of documentation, and then give them a driver's license, give them a leaf blower. Good Lord. 877-876-PHIL. Dean Wheeler here with us. And now it's a very wide-ranging discussion as we talk about the rights of illegal immigrants, or as he says, undocumented, because it's an obscenity for him to have to listen to me say the words illegal. We need some boots on this one. 877-876-PHIL as we talk about the undocumented worker. Next hour, we've got Brad Rifkin with a topic that is going to talk about setting your ears on fire. This one will. Brad Rifkin marketing a padded brassiere for 7-year-olds. 877-876, the world famous, 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
It really hurts.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I got Dean Wheeler here in just a second, but I want to tell you guys, as you know, a sponsor of this program, and they have been for a number of months now, is Dynapep. And we want to tell you about Dynapep because every night we take a couple of blasts of Dynapep. You know, it's a micro-energy shot. And what Dynapep has is, well, what it doesn't have is sugar. There's no sugar. There's no crash. There's no jitters. There's just 2 calories to Dynapep's micro energy shot. It gets you through the night focused and alert, and it keeps you going when you've been up all night. You know, you third shifters like myself, that's where it's at. All those people that are prejudiced against us, like Mr. Wheeler here, that we like to be up late at night because we like hanging out with all the weirdos at the bookstore or the newsstand on the corner. No, we take our Dynapep because it helps gets us through the night of work that we have, and that's what we like about it. So check out Dynapep. It's available right now at any 7-Eleven store. You can visit them online, too, at dynapep.com. A sponsor of the Phil Henry Show, Dynapep. And by the way, Mr. Wheeler, the whole idea that, you know, because I work late, there's something wrong with me, that is unacceptable.
Well, Mr. Henry, you have used the words illegal immigrant I don't know how many times. As you know, I find it patently offensive. I have experienced during the course of this hour, as we try to fight for the undocumented, reactions in terms of blood pressure. And blood pressure affects the arteries. And the arteries can become compromised to the point of stroke. And I will say to you now, and I put you on fair warning, and I tell this to your audience, if I suffer any debilitating health effects from you saying what you said...
Illegal immigrant?
Oh.
Okay, are you all right, sir?
Hold on. Mr. Henry, I will only say this to you. I will file a lawsuit if I have any form of Bell's palsy or any kind of loss of feeling in the right side of my face, which is where I've just gotten a sensation. If you keep saying illegal immigrant, And
well, it's what they are, sir. You can talk about, you know, I don't want you to be ill, but it's what they are. 877-876-PHIL, Joanne in Los Angeles. Joanne, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'd like to know if this, your guest, is a legal American citizen.
Am I? Yes, I was born and raised here.
Okay.
I was born and raised in San Francisco.
Okay. And so you have a birth certificate, you have a social security card, and
I do.
You have a driver's license?
I do.
And you went through all of the protocols for that's necessary to...
I wasn't raised on dog meat.
Excuse me?
I wasn't raised on dog meat.
No. I'm not talking about what you were raised on. I'm talking about your citizenship, sir.
Right.
That's
right.
What I'm talking about.
And but I had all of those because I had the advantages of good diet.
Okay.
And not being around people like Mr. Hendry who wants me to be ill.
Okay. Well, then if a person...
Illegal immigrant.
If a person comes into this country and they don't come in on a visa, they do not come in according to our immigration laws, what do you consider that to be, according to our Constitution?
They're undocumented. There's no question they're undocumented. And because they're undocumented, then we can have a category for them, such as a verification. So if they're to get a driver's license, they don't have a birth certificate, but they can have a verification certificate that they do exist within the border. You know?
Sir, are you aware...
That's the most asinine thing I ever heard in my life.
Are you aware of the fact that most undocumented workers, because I would certainly not want you to put your health in peril, but are you aware of the fact that most undocumented workers cannot speak English? And if they can't speak English, how can they read English?
Yes.
Are you aware of that?
That hurts as well. That hurts as well. You saying that.
Well, who does it hurt? Does it hurt the undocumented worker?
It hurts me.
What hurts?
The fact that you have taken those people and devalued them to the point where you dismiss them with a documentation as if a period is out of place so they don't exist.
No. I didn't say that. Obviously, they exist. They exist because they're coming across the border. They exist. They are live human beings.
Ow.
You know, Mr. Wheeler, you putting this off on myself or Joanne by saying that your health is compromised if I say the words that I say, immediately takes it off point.
How is that?
Because we can't talk about anything anymore for fear that you're going to be sick.
This conversation has made me sick. It's made thousands, if not millions, of people sick in this country, talking about undocumented people as if they, with just the swipe of a pen, they lose their existence.
They had a country. They already had a country.
Well,
they're fleeing their
Mexico
own
a country.
Country.
It's
what
not
country?
As if
Mexico is not a country?
Sky. Hello?
Well, you know, you're calling Mexico a country? I hardly think it qualifies.
Oh, wow. So Mexico isn't a country?
Wow.
I hardly think it qualifies. I mean, look at it. It's out of control.
Are you familiar with Mexican history? Obviously.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I don't really. I think that, you know, you're trying to show your erudition. That's great, but...
No, you don't worry about that kind of thing. I just know that Mexico, one thing, has the biggest and oldest pyramid in the world, older than Egypt.
Well, they got a pyramid. How about that? I guess that makes them a country. Wow.
Hey, you know something, Dean? They are a country. They have embassies all over the world. They have a borders. They have a national armed forces. They have a Congress and a president and all of that stuff. So, yeah, they're a country.
Whatever.
No, not whatever. Thank you very much, Joanne, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to, I believe it's Don in Mobile, Alabama. Go ahead, Don. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, good morning. Hey.
Good evening.
Look, you know,
in order for a
person to get a job in the United States, we have to have documentation. We have to have a birth certificate. We have to register. We have to pay taxes. You know, I wonder if these so-called undocumented workers who cross our borders illegally, you know, have all that stuff. You know, they can't. I wonder if the guest is aware that it's a crime to cross the U.S. border without proper documentation, which, and if it's a crime, it's illegal, you know, so to cross the,
That hurts.
What hurts about that?
Well, he's being sarcastic. I can tell he wants to say illegal immigrant. He said,
well, you know what,
like this, undocumented, it hurts. It hurts me.
I don't care what hurts you. Yeah, go ahead.
It's illegal for a Mexican citizen to cross the United States border without proper documentation.
I wish you wouldn't bring that up. Please don't bring that up.
Why not?
Let me bring this up. If a United States citizen crossed the Mexican border into Mexico, you know what would happen? He would be arrested and deported back to the United States.
As well he should be.
Mexican citizen crossing into the United States.
Okay, that hurts. Ow.
Oh, you're a baby.
Phil. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I won't be buying them for my 8-year-old now.
I wouldn't say graphic, I'd say accurate.
So 9 days ago, after consulting...
Yeah, I'm going to fight them right back.
This is going to cause more confusion than
this is Charles Barkley. I'm a dumbass.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And this hour we have Brad Rifkin joining us from Las Vegas. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Live streaming video of the show right now. In order to enjoy everything on our website, get a backstage pass. And I can only tell you this. And I'm not kidding either. You can subscribe to all kinds of things. You can pay for all kinds of things. You don't get anywhere near the bang for your buck like you do when you are a member of our Backstage Pass crew. And a lot of people will claim that, but I'm telling you, as far as radio goes, we offer something, first of all, that no other radio show has. We offer a video cast that no other radio show can offer. We offer archives the largest in the world. The largest in the world. Think about that. We have, of our show... We have the largest single show archive of material in the world. Without a backstage pass to our website, you're just walking around bumping into things, my brother. So head on over to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Abercrombie & Fitch bows to pressure on padded bikini.
You turn this off, bud, okay?
Turn about the fan?
Yes, the fan that I just reached over to turn off. Abercrombie & Fitch bows to... Don't turn it back on. Keep it off. Abercrombie & Fitch bows to pressure on padded bikini for 7-year-olds, and they issue an apology after there was a little bit of complaining happening about this. In Las Vegas right now is Brad Rifkin, who owns Rifkin Advertising, an advertising agency that also has been a part, not really a part of this controversy, but you have a product that you have been pushing as well, Brad?
Yeah, that's correct, Phil.
Tell me about that.
Well, the product that we have is one that we stand behind. We're very proud of it, and I have to tell you, I'm shocked at the people at Abercrombie & Fitch. I think they overreacted to the public criticism. I don't think there probably was as much of public criticism as they thought there was, you know.
What is your product?
Our product is called Little Miss Showstopper. This is a bikini like Abercrombie & Fitch, but mostly you can buy the bikini or just buy the top.
Okay, but the problem with the Abercrombie & Fitch bikini, they call it the Ashley swimsuit, is it has a padded top.
That is correct, yes.
Does yours?
Yes, it does.
And how old are the? Is this intended for what child?
Well, this is for children as young as 7 years of age, but as old as 12.
And 7 years of age. So you have 7-year-old girls who would wear a padded top.
That is correct, but please... You know, if I could be allowed to just describe...
Well, you will be. I wanted to make sure that I had... You know, I don't want to overstate or misrepresent what it is that that you sell as well, Brad. What I do want to do, though, here is give people a little taste as to the Abercrombie & Fitch side of things. ABC News spoke with parents. These are parents about the idea of padded bikinis for 7-year-olds.
I won't be buying them for my 8-year-old now.
I think it's terrible. My God.
Yeah.
Now, why would they do that? I think it's disgusting. First of all, I wouldn't put my daughter in a bikini if she was seven. Second of all, I wouldn't put her in a padded bikini.
They're just pushing them faster and faster and faster. Let them be kids.
All right, here is a child psychologist, Dr. Michael Bradley. He spoke to Good Morning America of ABC about how these types of products negatively impact children.
One, we're shaping their beliefs. We're actually teaching them that this is their primary value in this culture. That's what they're all about. Second, we're shaping their behavior. We find the kids that get into this stuff do get into high-risk, early-onset sexual behavior. Third, we whack their body image. We tell them, you're not okay as you are. You have to use this kind of stuff. Finally, we're taking their childhoods away from them. At age 8, we throw them into this pressurized, high-anxiety world. They're not ready to handle. And we think it's part of why we see so much depression and anxiety in kids.
What about that, Brad? I know you're not a psychologist.
I'm not a psychologist. I think it's very unfair that once again we introduce into the private sector, and that is the sector of our economy, in the middle of a recession. We're trying to get build the business back up for business people. I think it's very unfortunate that I've got to listen to these so-called psychologists. We're not trying to sexualize children, Phil.
Well, what about the name of this thing, Little Miss Showstopper?
That's about Little Miss Showstopper means that she is a young girl. She's on her way to becoming a woman, and it's got nothing to do with sex. It has to do with her seeing herself into the future. Every little girl, Phil, plays dress up. Every little girl plays dress up. Every little girl wants to be a grown-up, she wants to be a lady, and so on and so forth. So what we do is, Little Miss Showstopper, it's called Little Miss, which acknowledges that this is for a little kid, it's not for an adult. And Showstopper is about how she's going to stop the world, you know. And
oh, you know something, Mr. Rifkin, with all due respect, it sounds to me like you're doing a little bit of a dance here.
I'm not doing a dance.
Little Miss Showstopper. You know, anybody would tell you that in the minds of people, when you say showstopper, you're talking about a dancer of some kind. Or
no, that's where you go with it. That's where you're going with it. I don't go there with that. That's not what I do with that. What I'm thinking,
You don't think that when you say showstopper, people are not going to think about a woman on stage?
No, I don't. Not necessarily. We've heard that term used in business.
I've never heard the showstopper. I've been in business my whole life. I've never heard that.
Well, I don't know what. Well, I have, and I'm in business too. That's a showstopper of an idea. That's a showstopper of a speech you gave, or of an address you gave. You know, so that's. But more importantly, I have, as well as a great many very hardworking people, we've put a lot of our effort, our advertising effort, and we've put a lot of our manufacturing effort into this product. And right now, we have sitting on a warehouse floor, probably about a couple of $100,000 worth of product. That we want to be able to, expose to the marketplace, and all of a sudden Abercrombie and Fitch has made this statement. They've caved in, and they now make it very difficult for me to be able to be in business.
Our number, by the way, folks, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's talk a little bit about you being in business. I know that you've got a lot of money that you've invested. You know, you heard those parents there, and I know it's Abercrombie and Fitch, and you do not agree with their decision to either remarket or take this thing off the shelves.
I don't care what Abercrombie and Fitch does. I think that's what they do. I think it's the difference between me and Abercrombie and Fitch. You know, I know what I'm doing. I'm not ashamed of what I do. If Abercrombie and Fitch want to cave, they can cave.
So you think they're caving?
I think they, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why they put their product out there. I know that I put my product out there as a way for, you know, a little kid can play an adult. And
Well, one of the reasons why I brought that up is because you heard the voices of parents on a couple of the actualities we had from ABC saying that the kids are growing up too much. I don't want my child in that. You heard that doctor saying that it affects their self-image. We hear so many people saying, myself included, that the kids are being forced to grow up. We're sexualizing children. The values that we have as families and as a society, where we want children to be children, all of those things are threatened and compromised by something called Little Miss Showstopper,
Really, Mr. Henry, I did not know I had that much power, that I'm compromising the entire value.
Well, I'm talking about examples of those products, all right?
Well, you should talk to Abercrombie and Fitch about that. I think that what we're doing with our product is...
Why is it padded?
The top?
Yes.
Because no little kid, if she's a little girl, I'm sure she's aware of the fact that by some point in her life, she's not going to, you know, it's going to be different. She's going to be different, and so she's taking on, you know, in my opinion, what it does is it lets them take a look in the mirror and go, oh, so that's what I'll look like. Because a lot of them, they look at that.
What different? Why do they need to know that?
I beg your pardon?
Why do they need to know that?
Well, who are you to say that they don't need to know? That's my whole point. Why not let the marketplace? I thought you were conservative. You know,
I am, very much so.
Then why would you interfere with a man's ability to do business?
Because there's a line that we draw anywhere in society when it comes to the compromising of kids. We talk about...
Wait a minute. How am I compromising a kid when I give them a toy? And that's all it is. It's like a toy bra.
A toy bra is what you're saying.
Not a toy bra, but it's like a toy... That allows them, if when you were a little boy, and little boys, they play with cars and trucks, and they play with all of that. Little girls can play to what it looks like, you know, if she wanted to be a dancer. That's the point that I wanted to make. I'm glad. I got very frustrated, Mr. Henry, at the beginning of this program because you had me on the defensive. But now I know. And I want to thank my staff. They wrote down a couple of points. That's the point I want to say, because I think this is a point that you're not going to be able to argue against. If a little boy gets to drive a truck or play around with trucks, then little girls get to wear fake bras and look at fake, you know, how they look fake. And
I don't understand.
Well, little boys don't drive trucks.
No, they don't drive trucks, but they have toy trucks.
Right. So why can't a girl have toy, et cetera? That's the point I wanted to see. You can't argue against that, all right? And this is a window into their future. Keep again, I want to remind you, Mr. Henry, now that I have you on the defensive...
You don't have me on the defensive. I don't hear what you're saying here.
I'm saying this is, as I said to you before we went on the air, this is the Little Miss Showstopper top and panties is a window into the future to see what they look like.
So you're admitting now to me and to my audience that what you're selling here... is a bra and panties for seven-year-olds that the bra is padded so they get to see what they look like when they're an adult. You call it Little Miss Showstopper. Put two and two together, comes out four. This is what you're going to look like when you're standing on a stage or dancing around a pole.
Oh, boy. I'm glad I'm not you. I don't have that kind of mind at all. I don't have that kind of mind at all.
You don't have that kind of mind at all when you say they look into the future and they see what?
I told you what they see.
They see themselves in a padded bra and panties. You just described them as that. And a window into the future.
No, the point that I made that you still can't argue about and has you on the defensive is...
I don't know what you're talking about, me being on the defensive. You're talking about a little boy having a truck or a little boy having these toys that little boys have.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Why can't a little girl have a toy that she'd have, which is a padded bra? I have to tell you, and I don't mean to be insulting, but there are a great many women listening to this broadcast right now who are fully developed women, and they wear padded bras because of the way, you know, that life has dealt them. It dealt them a hand, you know. So that's the little girl saying, well, maybe that'll, you know, happen too. And
all right, you know, Mr. Rifkin, you're very deft at your maneuvering here, but no, you haven't put me on the defensive at all.
I'm not maneuvering, Mr. Henry. I'm telling you, as a businessman, I'm asking you what's wrong with a little girl having a padded bra when a little boy gets to drive a truck.
A little boy doesn't drive a truck. He's pushing around a toy truck on the floor.
And a little girl is standing there going, hey, look at that, you know.
Hey, look at that.
Yes, sir. If you want me to, I don't want to be. What do you want me to say? Hey, wow, you know, va-va-voom? I'm not going to say that.
Essentially, that's really what I feel should. That's where you're walking right up to that edge. So while Abercrombie and Fitch, ladies and gentlemen, apologize for their use of this Ashley swimsuit with a padded top, Brad Rifkin, and the Little Miss Showstopper, they push right on. Nothing wrong with a little seven-year-old girl with a padded top. She can look in the mirror and think, wow, that's what I'm going to look like someday. And by the way, a lot of you ladies out there, according to Mr. Rifkin, a lot of you still wear padded bras. I just think that this is once again another, it's just, you know how we talk about marching into the future? Well, this is somebody stumbling along the way. I can tell you that right now. Just falling by the wayside. 877-876-7445. Your phone calls next for our guest, Brad Rifkin. 877-876-PHIL. Next hour, the News Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now.
Hold on.
877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
What were you saying? Welcome back to your world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're going to take some of your phone calls. I have Brad Rifkin on from Rifkin Advertising Las Vegas. They've been implementing this, what you call the Little Miss Showstopper. What did you want to make the point on?
Well, Mr. Hendry, if you can go to A&E, and if your listeners, I don't know if the people can go to A&E, and you can go to it on your Internet, and you will see a show called Toddlers and Tiaras.
Well, that's different, though.
No, please, sir. And I'm looking at little girls in bikinis. I'm looking at little girls two-piece this, and the women, the mothers, are these women who've obviously had some kind of implants. So what little girl's gonna? She's in a beauty pageant. She looks at her mother with a big chest, and she's gonna want to have the Little Miss Showstopper so she can take a look and see what it's, you know, what it's about.
And what it's about?
Well, I didn't. Mr. Henry, this show is not my show.
Well, Toddlers and Tiaras, I'm here to tell you, I don't like that show either. Okay, excuse me for coughing, folks. I don't like that show either. I don't like what they do in that show.
All right, well, why don't you call them up and give them a hard time instead of
But what they don't do is they do not, on that show, enhance a little girl, a child, an infant's body.
I'm not talking about an infant here.
7 years of age, a kid is seven, that's a little girl. 7 years old, little girl. There's nothing about that child that's womanly. Nothing about her at all. She's a seven-year-old little girl, and you already have this thing called Little Miss Showstopper. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's go over to Megan in Prescott, Arizona. Go ahead, Megan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think giving padded bras to children or any kind of padded swimsuit or whatever gives them a false image of what they're supposed to look like when they grow up. At 7 years old, you are not mature enough. You don't know what size you're going to be, if you're going to be a double A or a double D. I have a very large size, and I don't wear a padded bra. And, you know,
you could get a general idea of what you're going to look like. I mean, if you're a little girl, you look good. Because this is not about whether she's going to look and go, hey, you know, look at me. I got a pair like mom.
I got a pair like mom. You think this kid is thinking like a man?
I didn't say that, okay?
No, it's telling girls, it's giving them false images of what they're supposed to look like. We're all made differently. We don't do that to men at all. And telling a girl that this is what, you know, patting your bra and giving you some cleavage is what's going to make you beautiful just because you look like mom is giving them a false sense of security and telling them that they're not good enough. What they are at 7 years old, they're supposed to be playing around with trucks and dolls and stuff, not playing around with padded underwear.
Right. Okay, let me just say, I'm looking at that show that I told Mr. Henry about, and he doesn't want me to bring it up because it blows his argument out of the water.
What show? The Toddlers and Tiaras?
Yeah, and I just looked at a mother and a daughter, and she's got this little girl walking across the grass. And excuse me for saying it this way, but I can't explain it any other way. Swinging her butt back and forth. Now, what has that got to do with anything?
What do you mean, swinging her butt back and forth?
The little kid, she's going back and forth with the hips. What's that about?
It's mental.
Okay, so I'm a businessman trying to make a couple of dollars, but A&E gets to put this garbage on.
Let me just say something, okay? One of the reasons why A&E puts that show on the air is because it's controversial, so you can look at it. So that I think A&E is doing a service, to be honest with you, exposing that show.
Well, I haven't heard this lady say anything, Mr. Henry. I think you're speaking for her, and she doesn't like it. What do you think of that show, ma'am? That Toddlers and Tiaras show.
Toddlers and Tiaras, I think it's the most disgusting show I've ever seen, and I don't watch it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
you know,
I was speaking
instead of promoting sports or you know, loving Girl Scouts, we promote this kind of disgusting, you know, mold that
exactly.
we want these girls to grow up into.
Exactly. And so, Brad, you can talk about Toddlers and Tiaras and how come you don't get to do what you want to do, but Toddlers and Tiaras is viewed the same way.
And yet I'm the guy that's being driven out of business. I got $100,000, $150,000 worth of product sitting on a warehouse floor. I got to go broke. And the guy that produces Toddlers and Tiaras, excuse me, probably a homosexual, is sitting...
And why would you say that?
You know as well as I do.
No, I don't. So now what we got going here is a little homophobia on top of everything else.
Gay, you know the gays are behind these shows.
And what shows?
The fashion shows.
All right. Megan, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Thank you very much. Boy, I'll tell you, we have to take a break.
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, you get into that disapproving adult voice of yours. Well, by goodness. You know,
you just indicted gay people as the people behind the fashion shows or the little kid fashion shows.
I'm just saying that I've got $150,000 worth of product at a warehouse floor, and meanwhile, you know, and probably a very nice guy who's a gay.
You know, you just keep on digging a hole for yourself, don't you? 877-876-PHIL. Little Miss Showstopper, a padded bra for 7-year-olds. What do you think of that? The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Well, you really are cute, aren't you?
Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, radio for Patriots by Patriots. The Patriot line open at 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. As a matter of fact, if you're watching our live streaming video, Phil TV in HD this evening, you'll see we are airing clips of the show, Toddlers and Tiaras.
All right, Mr. Henry, can I say something?
Go ahead.
Right there. You are admitting to your audience that you're showing a program that you think is a show that is degenerated, and you're showing it for what? Are you showing it so people can get the thrills?
No, I'm not. I'm showing it as an example of the sexualization of kids and what we're talking about.
Well, all right. And so I'm not doing that. Now, we are not afraid. We've been out in public with our product. And
what is the Lucky Lindy Mall? Are you doing something there?
Yeah, we sell the product at malls and other places during a weekend. We're at the Lucky Lindy Mall in Las Vegas, and we'll be out there with the Little Miss Showstopper. We are people who, you know, the people who are interested in the product, you know. And so a lot of times we will say to a parent, you know, your daughter, she looks like she could... And again, I have to put this in a way that people understand, because I think you've misrepresented me a little bit.
Your daughter looks like what?
I say to them, your daughter looks like she... If you look at the mother, and the mother has a well-developed pair, you know, breast, you will say, well, the kid is not even close to that. So that you'll say to the mother, well, have you heard about our little... Showstopper.
I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have something here called, you've got Little Miss Showstopper size A, B, C, double D?
Yes, sir, we do.
Double D, huh?
Yeah, and we have double C. Yes, because little girls like to play dress up, and so they want to know
what it's going to look like with a double D cup bra.
We pat them out to a double D size for 7-year-olds. That's not, see, the mistake you're making is you think they're double D for an adult woman. No, it's a kid version of that.
A kid version. I also saw in some of some literature that at least an attorney of yours said that you don't want to engage fathers.
Yes, that the mothers bring the kids to the demonstrations. And
why not the fathers?
Because a lot of them are like you, Mr. Henry. They're very hot-headed. They want to get into a fight. I don't want to have to sue anybody. That's not the point. The point that I'm making here is...
You don't want to have to sue anybody. Were you assaulted?
No, I was not. But I anticipate, because of shows like yours, I'm trying to make a dollar we bring out the Little Miss Showstopper, a double D, and suddenly all bets are off and everything goes to hell in a handcart because you did a radio show calling me a guy that traffics in sex. And that's not what I do.
All right, 877-876-7445. Do you think little seven-year-old girls need to have padded tops? And in the case of Mr. Rifkin here, a double D. Here is Jesse in San Antonio. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Fine.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, but I kind of have to disagree that, you know, that's not a safe product for any child of that age. You know, I have four stepdaughters that I came into their lives at the age of four. Not once did I ever see them put on mommy's bras and stuff like that. Yeah, they did put on her shoes, her jackets, scarves, but that was that, man. I mean, that
right.
To me was clean as it can get. I said, you know what, let them be little girls. I don't need my girls. I mean, just the thought of that, seeing them dressed like that, it's like, that's the reason why some parents allow their kids, you know, to dress the way they dress. Things happen out there. There's rape going on because of these situations, and I would hate to see that.
The kids don't, they don't dress up that way because there isn't anything for them. Now, look, if you look at this show, Toddlers and Tiaras, where a kid can put on a double D. And
what are you talking about, a double D?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I meant not the mother size, but a kid. You know.
Well, the show Toddlers and Tiaras, you've already said, is a show that a lot of people have problems with.
But what I'm saying to the gentleman is, if a little kid, why not let the little kid decide? See? And
is the kid supposed to just wear this around the house?
No, you put it on and go out.
And go out, huh? So now we've got a seven-year-old kid.
Well, I don't understand. See, the problem you both of you gentlemen have, and I think a lot of men have, is that you don't seem to care what a, you know, how I'm taking. I'm a businessman. I'm going to lose a lot of money here because Abercrombie and Fitch folded, and they folded fast too. It didn't take very long for them to. And now I don't have, you know, the wherewithal to promote this other than on Mr. Henry's show. And you gentlemen have reacted the way I figured people would react.
Oh.
There's something wrong with me mentally.
No.
Well, look, what I'm saying here, Brad, there's nothing wrong with you mentally, but for a kid to wear that and go out into public?
That to me is like sending a message to all the pedophiles.
Well, what's the point of giving her a padded...
You don't send a seven-year-old kid out there like that. So let me ask you a question. Is the kids wearing the double D version of this?
When you say double D, everybody out there is thinking Chesty Morgan or something like that.
Well, what are they supposed to think? How am I supposed to envision a seven-year-old like that?
Oh, man.
In my opinion, I think what you've done, Mr. Henry, is you've just weakened the country tonight. That's all. You've just weakened the country.
Well, all right, thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to Johnny in, I think it's Reidsville, North Carolina. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
The question I wanted to ask the gentleman, when you got a 7-year-old and you got like a padded top, which he's trying to get in the mind of a 7-year-old. And I got grandchildren, three granddaughters. I got two grown daughters, and my youngest daughter is 16 years old. When she was growing up, I didn't never notice her to try to imitate mama or whatever. And when he mentioned something about little boys play with trucks, I'm a truck driver. I'm driving down the road now, and I hope my phone don't go out going down the road. But...
Yes, sir.
And little girls, they play with dolls. They dress dolls, they change the diapers and all of that, imitating what little girls do. But as far as putting on a bra, a padded bra is that. What kind of message are you thinking either sending to these 13 and 14-year-old boys that molest little girls because they're not...
Well, I think that's very... That's sick. That's very sick. It's very sick that they would do that. And when we suggest when they put on a Little Miss Showstopper, the double D's, they go out away from those areas.
What do you mean you suggest?
Well, if they're going to do it...
Well, what would you? Are you selling these things? See, here's what I want to... And the gentleman put me in... He said a very good thing. He said that the kids are playing with trucks, the little girls play with dolls.
Well, the little boys dress up in... Hello, is the gentleman there? I think I heard his phone just do something. But the little girls dress up... the little girls play with dolls. Well, the little boys dress in baseball uniforms, and they dress in football uniforms, you see? So
you think them dressing up in a football uniform, baseball uniform, is the same thing as dressing up a little girl dressing up in...
Yeah, putting on a bra. But the other thing that people are saying is, I've never seen a kid do this. Well, they've never had the little Miss Showstopper until now. And certainly, I think you've got this all wrong with the double D. It's a kid version.
I know it's a kid version. I can't even imagine what that looks like, a kid version of that. Thanks very much, Johnny, for your call. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. What does that mean, a kid version of a double D bra? It's called the Little Miss Showstopper. It's a padded bra for seven-year-olds that Mr. Rifkin is selling. Abercrombie & Fitch had a padded top called the Ashley Swimsuit. They've pulled it off the shelves after a lot of complaints by parents. But Mr. Rifkin is pushing ahead because he says there's nothing sexual about it. And he says that he's got about $150,000 worth of product on a warehouse floor. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. 877-876-7445. More of your calls still to come. And our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman next hour. But for now, Brad Rifkin from Rifkin Advertising on the Little Miss Showstopper padded brassiere or padded top. The Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, radio for patriots by patriots. And with us, Brad Rifkin of Rifkin Advertising. We're talking about this Little Miss Showstopper padded top that he is selling. And you had what you called your silver bullet argument.
I wanted to mention to you and to your listeners that really what I call a silver bullet argument, which means that this is the argument that I heard last hour one of your guests say that this he had a good, his argument, his killer argument, however, this is ours, and here it is. This is not about sex. This is not about, when we say that we have the Little Miss Showstopper padded top out to the double D even, look at that show, Toddlers and Tiaras. What you have are many women in this country who, for whatever reason, were never able to make it themselves as beauty, in a beauty pageant. I mean, you look at these women, beauty queens, they ain't. But through their children, yes, and I don't think there's anything wrong with a woman dreaming through her child just as fathers dream through their sons. And if it can help a woman fulfill a life that, you know, I mean, when you look at her and you say, beauty queen, you ain't, and that's going to hurt a woman. But if she's got a daughter...
If she's got a daughter, what, Brad? I mean, if she's got a daughter that's beautiful, she's got a daughter that's beautiful. What's the padded top?
The padded top accentuates and helps speed along the recovery of this. I'm looking at one of these women, Amanda. She's on this Toddlers and Tiaras. Her face, and I'm sure she's a wonderful woman, but the face, you look at it, her, and you just know it's not going to happen. However, she's got a very beautiful daughter. And
so you put, I'm looking at the daughter, too. She's a three. She looks like she's three.
We don't, but that's not seven. What I'm saying is we use the Little Miss Showstopper for seven. Because you look at the mother, and you know that it was never going to happen for her, but maybe.
Just maybe she can live through her daughter's success wearing a Little Miss Showstopper padded top. Unbelievable. What has happened to this country and to our view that our families, sacrosanct as they are, our little girls are little girls, and our little boys are little boys. Here is Mary in Detroit on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Mary. You're on with Brad Rifkin.
Hello. I just want to say this man is really, really sick. You are such a sick individual. And any mother that buys her little girl one of these, you're as sick as he is. I'm sick. I am so sick right now. I wouldn't have called, but this has got me all
rage. What have I done?
Rage.
I don't see
he's
what I've
met, he's mentally ill.
What have I
you
said that is so sick, ma'am? All I said was...
You know
that a woman can live through.
Okay, I was raped by men. Okay, what you're doing is enticing.
You're raped by what?
These men. You know what? That's what you're. You don't do this.
Well, I assume you were raped by a man.
You know what? Do you believe in God?
Oh,
you believe in God?
What's that? Do I believe in what, ma'am? I didn't hear you.
You're gonna have to answer to him, buddy. This is disgusting.
Who?
You're sick and you need help. And any woman, listen to me. If you buy this for your daughter, you're putting your little baby into these pervert's hands. You're all sick.
These women on toddlers and tiaras, these don't
I'm sorry,
women
but I'm so mad right now.
We
you do
to,
not know what you're doing. And
Mary,
listen, mothers,
Mary, just watch your language. That's all I'm asking you.
No,
well, she
I'm
said
sorry.
A
I'm
dirty
so,
word.
So
well, she's angry. I don't blame the lady for being
I
angry.
I'm
angry,
a
too.
I have a grandson. I have, you know, if I had a granddaughter, oh, my God. I can't imagine a little girl run.
Ma'am.
They don't want to see what
ma'am.
They look like with breasts. You idiot. You need to get yourself, you need to get good with God and stop this. Get rid of your product. I'm sorry you're losing money, but you don't deserve to
I'm losing
penny,
my.
Okay?
I'm losing my rear end. I'm losing my rear end.
I need your rear end. You, and your silver bullet, you need one for your head, mister. You're sick. You are sick.
My silver
okay?
bullet argument
you know
is
how many little girls
the
are
kid...
outside playing in the front yard? Men are pulling them right out of their yards. Wait, they're going to be outside with these bras on? You think that's not going to entice a man who's sick already? What is wrong with
ma'am,
you?
I do not
you
recommend that the kids play in the double D. They don't play
you
in the double D, little showstopper.
Oh, God.
Kidnap more little girls. That's all you're doing.
Ma'am,
I've seen these perverts out there. And there's millions, trillions of them.
You don't give me credit for being intelligent. You said that you were raped by men. Well, of course. I didn't think you were raped by an alligator. And
what is that supposed to mean? What is that supposed to mean?
Well, she.
You're enticing these
people. God.
You're enticing
ma'am, all I'm saying.
Shame
no,
on
I'm not.
You.
This is
shame
about the mothers.
You.
It's about the mothers not winning a beauty pageant, and I give them
the mothers
a,
are pieces
a sniffle
of
one.
Too. They're just they're sick. They're as sick as you are. That's all I'm going to say. So.
What's wrong
good
with
luck,
giving
you know?
These mothers a whiff?
What do you mean giving the mothers a whiff?
A whiff of victory.
What?
You know,
victory? Oh,
yes,
my God.
Beauty,
I can't even.
Beauty
you know
pageant.
What? I can't even. This doesn't even wrap around my head anymore.
Right.
You're just really sick. You need help.
I think that's because you don't have an open mind. Your mind.
No, you know what? I have more. My mind is so open that I can't take this world anymore. You
I
sick men in
it
are just wrecking our world. This world is ruined.
So that's it, huh?
We
so that's it. You hate men.
Babies.
Okay.
I have to walk
well.
Out with a 5-year-old to kindergarten, stand outside, bring. I won't even let my kids outside, and now you're doing this. Oh my
you won't
God.
Let your kids outside. That's wrong. You got to let them
you're
outside.
You're sick.
You can't kidnap your
sick.
Kids. And I'll tell you one other thing.
All right.
You just need
yeah,
help.
She's on the radio.
You need
turn
help.
It up loud.
All right, no, don't turn it up. Thank you very much, Mary. And I'm sorry
right.
for your problems,
all
but
right.
thank you. Very good point of view. Our number 877. And what the hell is wrong with you?
What?
You don't give me credit for being smart enough.
She said I was raped by men. I thought.
Well, all right. So you didn't have to bring it back up.
Mr. Henry, you know, she said that show's sick. Great. Then why doesn't she call up Toddlers and Tiaras and tell them to take up?
All right. Abercrombie and Fitch is how this whole thing started. They have pulled it off the shelf. They have responded to the pressure of the marketplace. What are, you know, in the words of Bill O'Reilly, what say you?
In the words of Bill O'Reilly, what say I? You had to pull that out, huh?
Yeah. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep this stuff on the marketplace?
We have one more show scheduled for the Lucky Lindy Mall. And that's when we were going to roll out the double D. Well, I guess we can't do it now.
No, I would not suggest you even have the show. I'm not saying that anything's going to happen.
Oh, you don't? You know, I told you that I didn't want any of the men showing up because they come up and just go ahead and they just loosen a few teeth. I only wanted mothers and the daughters because I figured these mothers, I could reason with them. A lot of them never won a beauty pageant.
That whole thing about the women never won a beauty pageant and so therefore they can live through their daughters and so on and so forth. You know, that's not playing at all, Brad. All right?
What do you mean it's not playing?
You heard that last lady. She wasn't buying it.
Well, that's because she doesn't believe in the Toddler and Tiara show. But I do. I believe in it, and I think it's going places.
going places. What is it with you, man? Do you understand what people are talking about? That show, what you're doing with your get him out of here before I throw up.
Well, you scheduled to go all the way to the top of the hour.
Well, I don't care. What, are we paying the guy? Hopefully, no. 877-877. What are you doing? 877-876-PHIL. Look, pal, you hang up on me once, okay?
No, you hung up on me.
Oh, sorry.
What I was going to say is, if we come out, we're not going to bring out the double D, but we've got a line of pasties. And
get out of here.
I thought you wanted to hear that.
I don't care if he's got pasties. Brad Rifkin from Rifkin Advertising. What a way to kick it off here this week, man. Woo! 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. All right, we have our news hour coming up next hour here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. And we also have, let's see, what else do we have? Well, an announcement. As you know, the coffee mugs are in the shop at the website. That's not really an announcement. It is an announcement, okay?
Well, you want to talk about it.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, they've been in the shop now 24, 48 hours or something. So if you want your Phil Hendry Show coffee mug, and it's a beautiful thing, I think we have it. There it is. If you're looking at the video cast, there it is. It has a three-color logo, although the cup itself is black and one of the colors of our logo is black. So you might say it's two-color, but it's still three-color. The three-color logo, and it's right there for all of you at the Phil Hendry Show shop. That's our merchandise store at philhendryshow.com, so pick that up. You can also get all of our best of CDs, as well as those are our archive best of legacy CDs, as well as our shot glass, the 2.5 ounce shot glass, and we've got another bit of merchandise we're going to be rolling out in the next few days as well. So visit philhendryshow.com, and while you're there, the best thing you can get is a backstage pass. All right, man. So what we have, should I go ahead?
Go ahead.
Well, I did a table read yesterday for Napoleon Dynamite, the animated show, and Jennifer Coolidge. I met Jennifer Coolidge. I know many of you probably are thinking, well, now, she's a really funny lady and best in show. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, that's a great thing. That's great.
Yeah, I know, bud. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You hang up on me.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
There's a lot more opportunity for rejection, you know, just by the sheer numbers, and for cyber.
I'll be buying them for my 8-year-old now.
I think it's terrible. My God.
Yeah. At this point, in addition to maintaining a no-fly zone.
I wouldn't say graphic. I'd say accurate.
Chicken crap.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we do radio for patriots by patriots. Yeah! Every night here, man, we bring you the news, and we bring you the perspective on the news that we think is needed. And what is that? Well, the first thing we have to do is we got to get it together here. We've got to get together. As we march arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, toward the future. Not the past, the future, which is, of course, a stronger, more united country, and one that can deal, for instance, with degenerates like Brad Rifkin. I don't want to say that this show is about dealing with degenerates, although you'd have to agree, guys.
I'll tell you on any given night. Yeah, like tonight.
Like tonight, on some nights. We're dealing with degenerates, and that's what we are doing tonight. If you're watching our live streaming video of the show, you're watching Phil TV in HD, you see the video that we're featuring behind us this evening is Nazis and the Occult, just as a way of sort of a visual counterpoint to the program. 877-876-PHIL, although I don't want you to mistake the video. Yeah, it's not that kind of Nazi. This is American. These are American shoes.
Yeah. Well, I know they're American.
These are American boots. They have nothing to do with the Nazi. Anyway, welcome to the program here in our final hour, news hour. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard along the way with us. And I asked Jason to shoot me a couple of stories this evening that I, for whatever reason, I hadn't gotten a hold of in the early going. And one of them has to do with the industry that is going south of this country. 10 industries, the U.S. economy recovering from a severe recession, according to the Wall Street Journal. But some industries are unlikely to ever fully bounce back. And I don't want to start the hour off with a massive bummer, and I really don't think that that's what this is. What I am saying to you, though, is for whatever reason, if you're involved in this kind of business, or if you're, I don't know, you know.
Well, like if you do business with them or something like that.
Yes, if they're people that you rely on in your business.
Right. Then you may want to know what they are. And the reasons given here by the Wall Street Journal, I think this kind of thing is fascinating. I don't see this as bad. This happens. This happens, folks. We've gone a long time in this country and in the world. We've gone quite a long time without any real severe or jarring shift in how we do our jobs, what kind of jobs we have, how we manufacture things, what do we manufacture, where do we live. The last enormous event like that that we all learned in school was the Industrial Revolution in the mid-19th century. Kicked off in Great Britain, it made its way into every developed society at that time, including our own developing society. And it changed a lot. Transportation. One of the things that we talk about when we talk of the Industrial Revolution, of course, everybody talks about the fact that the cities got more crowded, the fact that there were more work-related injuries, that people were working around, for instance, heavy machinery. The child labor laws got to be very... child labor laws actually came into existence. We didn't have child labor laws. The other thing that happened, and you don't hear people talk about this, is that with the Industrial Revolution and the expansion of business, and one of the things that happened in the Industrial Revolution was that rail traffic, transiting by way of rail, railroad travel, became far more prominent, and the workforce began to experience for the very first time a brand new face, if you will, the single, unattached female. For the very first time in the history of societies, women, by the millions, by the hundreds of millions, were beginning to travel alone. They were going places on their own. They were 20, 21, 22-year-old women. They're just out of college. I don't need to have a man on my arm. I'm not married yet. That doesn't mean I'm sitting down on the farm. There was opportunity for single women in the cities. And so we saw a lot of women beginning to travel. And if you want to talk about the empowerment of women, you could go further back than the so-called women's liberation movement, you know?
I don't know about that. That's kind of interesting and everything. They say that's women got free and stuff?
No, not at all, bud. I'm saying that was like that's the 19th century.
That was way long before they had liberation.
Yeah, but you said they was free and everything.
Well, they weren't free, but they were traveling on their own. They didn't have to travel with a man. You know, they didn't have, oh, wow, what are you doing? You know, it used to be very weird to see a woman traveling by herself. It wasn't safe. But women more and more became comfortable with the idea of traveling on their own. And so that was kind of a change. So these things happen. And I mention that only to say that whatever it is that we are beginning to evolve into, and I suspect that when we look at these businesses that I'm about to tell you are sort of, you know, going the way of the dodo bird. That is an extinct. You know what the dodo bird is, bud?
Some kind of animal that don't exist.
Exactly.
That was hunted to extinction.
Yes, it was. Very good, Robert. The dodo bird was hunted to extinction by sailors. Guys would stop off on some island. I forget where they lived.
I'm not trying to be funny. Was it Dodo Island?
No, it wasn't Dodo Island, man. No.
What are you looking at me for?
Well, what do you mean Dodo Island?
Yeah, well, it's got to be called Dodo Island. It's called Dodo Bird.
Because it's called a Dodo Bird.
No, man, it wasn't Dodo Island. It was the Dodo Bird. They lived on some island, I don't know what, but the Dodo Bird is extinct because it was hunted to extinction, and that's just the way it goes. Speaking of that, we will be telling about an elephant hunt that they're flipping their lids over, not in Africa, in America. In Africa, it was cool. They're fine with it. They got too many elephants. But over here in the States, we got to stick our nose into everything, man. You know, there's such a thing as American imperialism, and then there's such a thing as American pain-in-the-ass imperialism. See, there's all kinds of American imperialists. There are the American imperialists of business. There are the American imperialists. Some people may have thought at one time American imperialism politically, the hegemony of America, blah, blah, blah. But we never talk about the other kind of American imperialism, the pain-in-the-ass do-gooder imperialism, the pain-in-the-ass environmentalist imperialism. Oh, you people don't know how to do it, man. We can tell you how to do it. Anyway, so here are 10 industries. There might be a little more, might be a few less here, I'm not sure. Here are 10 industries that are going south because of the changing economy. The biggest industry profiled by IBIS World is wired telecom carriers. Wired telecom carriers largely being supplanted by cell phones and the internet. The dominance of the web and digital media also puts newspaper publishers, record stores, video rental companies on the list. Meanwhile, photo finishing also takes its place among the top 10 dying industries thanks to the growing influence of digital photography. Cheap imports are blamed for a decline in mills and apparel manufacturing. Companies that rent formal wear are also counted among the dying industries amid both competition from abroad and lower prices, making owning your own formal wear a more attractive option than renting. So more and more men and women are buying their own formal gowns or tuxedos. The only clear recession casualty that makes the list is manufactured home dealers. Manufactured home dealers. The housing boom led to a surge in the industry, but now, years after the bubble burst, the sector has continued to struggle. That is, they make houses and then just take it to wherever.
You're kidding.
No. You guys did that. They came and they went. And I'm sure they'll come back when the... I believe that manufactured housing will make a comeback, but only when we need more houses, you know, when the houses get sold. Who knows when that'll be. Textile mills, wired telecom communication carriers, newspaper publishing, apparel manufacturing, DVD game and video rental, because people are downloading, manufactured home dealers, video post-production services, because people are editing their own videos now. People are making their own movies now, you know. And anything you need, you can like our TriCaster that we have for our beautiful broadcast or our beautiful webcast you're looking at right now. Well, hell, we can edit all our own stuff. We have all of our own virtual sets. We have all of our own special effects. We have all of our own cameras. We don't need to go anywhere to do what we do. Record stores. Goodbye, record stores.
Now, that part makes me feel bad, man. It used to be fun to go down a record store.
It did. And who did I... Who was talking? It really sounded like an old-timer, but he was lamenting the fact that there are no record stores anymore. There's just, you know, downloads. It was some artist, you know.
Yeah, it was like a guy from the 60s or something.
Yeah, who was that? You know the guy's name, Jace? John Bon Jovi. Yeah, a guy from the 60s.
Where's he from?
John Bon Jovi's like from the 80s. And by the way, the island of the dodo bird is the Mauritius?
Mauritius.
Mortatita? I don't know what the hell it's called.
I'd have been better if they called it Dodo Island.
Well, they didn't call it Dodo Island, man, so it's called Mauritius or something. Photo finishing, we mentioned, and then formal wear and costume rental. All of that is... Now, I will say this. That doesn't exactly sound like the Industrial Revolution, but it does throw a lot of people out of work. If you're not... Look at all those summer jobs that kids had at video rental places or post-production guys. What are cats going to do that have all of that skill when it comes to video production, video post-production? You know, what do you do with all that? If you're not an artist, but you're just the guy who's a hands-on guy, you know. Well, you start your own company, have a production company. I'd make it like mobile or something.
Yeah, you could advertise and you'll come over and make a movie for people or something like that. I don't think it works that good, though.
I don't know, man. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show, so that's just... A little signpost as to the economy. Coming up, elephant hunt controversy surrounds a GoDaddy.com CEO. Activists call a video a gruesome elephant snuff film. Well, let's find out if they know what it is they're talking about. We come back here. It's our news and our news and views hour. here on the Phil Henry Show. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with me. We're online at philhenryshow.com right now with live streaming Phil TV video
in HD.
The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. And what we're going to do is we're going to try to bring up a video, a very heartrending video. We're going to try to bring it up on our video cast for those of you that are watching. And for those of you that aren't, it's okay because it's just an example of the story. There's a video that was made by a young lady who has been bullied and who decided to make a video that was without dialogue. It was just her holding these signs. Bullied Connecticut teen reaches out on, quote, haunting viral YouTube video. A teenager who attends Bedford Middle School in Westport, Connecticut, says the school has become an emotional hell for her. So she posted this video. But the video also, it's not exactly a big secret. Her mother knew about it. And I think her mother was quoted as saying, well, I'm very proud of her. Some of it was for dramatic effect, but it was valid. And she also had a friend of hers make a statement as to the bullying, you know. And so I got to talking about this during the break, you know, with Bud and with Robert and Jason. And you guys all encouraged me to talk about the whole bullying thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't talk about when you was a kid.
Yeah, did you ever get your ass kicked or anything like that?
No, I didn't get my ass. Well, I don't know. Did I ever get my ass kicked? No. But let's see. The name of this video is Words Are Worse Than... let me see here, man. Let me just... I'm going to enter something in here. W-O-R-S. Words are worse. All right. Let's see what this looks like. I don't know if we're going to be... Yes, here it is. Words are worse than sticks and stones... is the name of the video, and I'll roll it behind me here. But now here is the whole thing that I'm trying to say, actually. When you're a kid, especially when you're a young man, you socialize yourself to the point where you have buddies and you have other friends, and so at least that was my instinct. So when I first got to high school, for instance, and here is this video that I'm talking about, when I first got to high school and I encountered the first jackass that pushed me around, he was a member of my class. He was a freshman like I was, but he was a much bigger kid. And he tried to give me a hard time, and I just walked past the guy because I was a really skinny runt of a kid. It turned out that, you know, from grade school and also in high school, I developed a group of friends, and generally skinny little runts like me, if we have personalities, we always develop friendships with bigger guys. And next thing you know, those guys have got our back, you know?
Yeah, they like go out and kick people's ass.
We didn't go out and kick anybody's ass, but, you know, I always had my friend Richard, I had a buddy of mine who wasn't much bigger than me, but this guy was ready to just go anytime, any place. And so if anybody ever gave me a hard time, this guy's, you know, ready to fight him. And, you know, a couple of guys like that. So you socialize yourself with boys. That's kind of how it went. Now, I know that there might be some young guys or some young men who don't do that. I mean, they're very, very... And I think personally, I'm just saying personally, I think that by high school, you ought to be making friends, you know?
Yeah.
You ought to be making friends. You ought to have some friends. I'm not saying friends that'll kick ass, but what I am saying is by high school, you have your little social unit. See, a lot of kids will say... Oh, they're stuck up, they hang together. Or maybe parents think the same way. But in a lot of ways, it's your way of surviving. You know, when you're a kid, girls do it. Young men do it. And if it's a healthy thing, you're not looking to kick somebody's ass. You're not getting together with three or four other guys and saying, now let's go out and pick on people. You're not doing that. For me, the guys that I hung out with starting in high school were generally people that made me laugh, and they shared my sense of humor. And we were squirrels, you know, we were maniacs.
Yeah, well, you're, like, getting in trouble and everything.
Yeah, we got into trouble. We did. But we got into trouble with stupid stuff.
Like what?
Like what? I mean, we had a couple of guys that just did weird stuff.
Yeah, what was that one time you said about a sign?
Well, that wasn't me. That was a friend of mine.
What did he do?
Well, I mean, this is like we would do this. We had a we had a big marquee, you know, one of those message, those old school message signs out in front of the gym, and it would say, you know, this week, LaSalle versus St. Francis, something like that.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, one night, or early one morning, I think, got on the shoulders of another guy and rearranged the words so it said something along the lines of nude gathering.
You're kidding.
No. It said nude. Somehow he found all the letters so he could make a sign that said nude gathering. So anyway, he got in trouble for that. And just and we all did, as a matter of fact. That was the extent of the bad stuff that I did. So I have to think, on some level, I don't know how, but, you know, I grew up, I was a pretty healthy kid.
Yeah, but, I mean, you got in trouble and everything about getting suspended, didn't you?
I never got suspended for any, yeah, I got suspended once for behavior, but it was being caught off campus, that kind of stuff. You're not supposed to be off campus. We got in some guy's car and we were down, I don't know, actually just having food. We were eating some lunch or something down at Eaton's, down at that restaurant, but when they caught us, they suspended us. The point I'm trying to make here is, I think any healthy kid socializes as friends. And if you're a healthy kid, your friends, you don't go out looking to beat people up. But what that does is you have your group of friends, and so if there are kids that want to beat you up, or there are kids that want to take you on, you have kind of safety in numbers. And so it becomes more of a situation. Well, if you pick on that one guy, you're picking on about six or seven other guys. I mean, now I don't know if girls are the same way. I don't know if girls bond the same way. But I do know that girls may go through high school experiencing that sort of solitary thing a lot more than boys do. Because I saw, you know, I don't want to mention any names, but I've seen people that I love very much who are very close to me go through that, and they're very healthy, normal people. That kid on the video, she put a video together with signs that I'm actually showing here on the show right now. Help, I don't cut, but I'm close. Do I look happy? Well, I'm not. I am bullied. Not a day has gone by without one of these words, including whore, fat, slut, and bitch.
Who, you?
No, not me.
The kid in the thing. Man, ain't you listening? Oh.
Me. So, and I'm a little confused about this girl in Connecticut. Is she doing this as an art project?
No, she's supposed to be the bully kid.
Well, her mom said it was a little, a lot of it was for effect. It was very dramatic. I'm wondering if this kid did this for some art project. Anyway, that's bullying. Phil 101 in bullying. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. More to come. I hope so. We got 30 minutes to go.
Phil Hendry.
All right.
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Here we're with you every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we're producing radio for Patriots, by Patriots, every night. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. We got you covered every which way that you could possibly think of. Now, we're going to talk about elephant hunting, and here is a story that just screams for commentary and does so in a very shrill manner, because while we are worried that first world nations are not allowing developing nations to industrially or otherwise catch up, shall we say, while we're worried that we do too much here and they don't do enough, while we're worried that even though we have fewer per capita carbon emissions going into the air, we still need to cut it back even more, because there's a whole lot of catching up that the people in China and India and elsewhere have to do. While we're worrying about that, by the same token, we don't care about going down to Africa, for instance, and telling them not to kill their elephants, which they kill for the meat, and of which they have plenty of meat. The social network website Twitter is all abuzz because of a trip GoDaddy.com CEO Bob Parsons went on where he shot and killed an elephant. An online video posted by the CEO to chronicle his vacation shows Parsons on an elephant hunt that he went on while in Zimbabwe. On the video, Parsons talks about rogue elephants in the African nation and how they cause damage to local crops. He went on a night hunt and he killed an elephant, chronicling the adventure in a four-minute vacation video, in much the same way John Huston, I'm sure, would have were he there and he was directing The African Queen.
What?
That's what that movie supposedly is about. You know that one?
What are you talking about? White Hunter and Black Heart?
Yeah, but what, maybe you can scream it a little louder, huh?
What?
Shut up. Yes. Remember that movie that Eastwood made called White Hunter, Black Heart? It was about John Huston making African Queen with Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn. And, oh yeah, while he was down there making the movie, he wanted to go kill an elephant. He didn't go all the way to Africa just to make some rotten movie, man. He's going down there to kill an elephant. In fact, some people say John Huston made African Queen as an excuse to go to Africa so he could kill an elephant. I don't know what it is. You tell me. I'm not into hunting, but I got nothing against it. I'm not into hunting, but I wish you well. Maybe someday I would be into hunting. I don't know, you know. Just doesn't turn me on, but I like shotguns. I like skeet shooting. But that's about it. That's the extent of what I like to do with a gun for recreation. I like to skeet shoot, you know.
Get one and go, pull!
Yeah. But hunting is a pursuit that some enjoy. Now, I do not condone, nor do I believe we have laws that really enable this much anymore. Going out and for laughs, killing something, and then dragging it home as a trophy, I think that's destructive. But by the same token, I'm willing to rely upon those in the know. And most of the time, those in the know, guess who they are?
Who?
They're hunters.
Well, what do you mean by that?
I mean, I'm telling you, some of the best environmentalists in the world are fishermen and hunters. They are, without question, in the top 5% of people who care enormously about our resources. Hunters and fishermen. Fishermen were instrumental in bringing back Lake Erie. Hunters were instrumental in bringing back deer in the state of New York. And the stories go on and on and on. Ducks Unlimited. You ever heard of Ducks Unlimited?
I mean, I know what the concept is.
What do you mean, the concept?
But there's a no limit to ducks.
No, it's the name of an organization, okay?
Oh.
Ducks Unlimited. These are duck hunters who brought back the duck population in a certain part of our continent. So you can't, you know, you just, you never know, man. You never know where your friends are. All right, so anyway, here is this guy from GoDaddy.com, this Parsons, and he goes out hunting for an elephant, and he finds one, and he kills the damn thing. He went on a night hunt, he killed the elephant, he chronicled the adventure. 5 shots from the team led by Parsons, and the bull elephant went down. Parsons later posed with the animal. Not anything different than a lot of people have done down through the years. The villagers celebrated the next day as they divided up the meat. On his blog, Parsons explains that he only hunts where it's regulated. In these areas, according to experts, there's no concern about the elephants becoming extinct. In fact, the bigger problem is that there are too many of them. But that's not a good enough reason for the many tweets circulating, because everybody's a genius on Twitter. As a matter of fact, when all there is to expend is hot air, everyone's a genius, including me.
Yeah, you expend a lot of it.
I certainly do. Now,
what do you mean I
spend a lot of it? I mean, I do, but
yeah, that's your job.
Yeah, it's my job. My job, yeah. Anyway, many of the tweets are critical of Parsons, and some animal rights activists who don't know their ass from a hole in the ground are calling for a boycott. Those always work. Some people want to know why such a successful businessman would want to use his vacation time to shoot elephants. Because it's fun! One activist called the video a gruesome elephant snuff film. Fox Channel 10 in Phoenix talked to Parsons by phone on Tuesday. He said, quote, I kind of figured that this might happen. So be it. I'm not ashamed of what I did. All these people are complaining that this shouldn't happen, that these people who are starving to death otherwise shouldn't eat these elephants. You probably see them driving through a McDonald's cutting a steak. These people don't have that option.
Getting a driving McDonald's cut a steak.
Don't you understand the point the man's making?
Yeah.
Don't try to be funny, okay? Parsons says it was rewarding to help the villagers, and he plans to do it again next year. The director of conservation at the Wildlife World Zoo in Litchfield Park, Arizona, Dr. Gray Stafford's statement was the following. The human-elephant conflict is real. About 75 to 100 elephants a day have been killed at human hands worldwide over the past 40 years, and about one person a day loses their life due to the increasing numbers of conflicts between animals searching for food and poor communities trying to survive. The ever-expanding human population on a shrinking planet makes these deadly conflicts more likely in the future, and while elephants may, quote, win a few battles, their species most certainly will lose the war unless we humans change our ways fast. Otherwise, the extinction of the largest land animal on Earth is inevitable. While some hunting organizations are fabulous conservationists, he mentions Ducks Unlimited here, many countries do a poor job of managing their natural resources and wildlife. Now, you mentioned Ducks Unlimited, which is an American organization. And then he goes on to say many countries. Well, you know. As for hunting, you know, see, here's the thing that I will not abide, and I don't expect any of you to abide this. Do not, for a second, recognize the right of an American conservationist group to tell you what to do with your life in another country. You talk about fascism. These bastards, it's an amazing thing how clueless they are. They talk about imperialism. They talk about neocolonialism. They talk about hegemony. What about their hegemony and their fascist imperialism over the starving peoples of Africa because they got a thing for elephants and they're going to enforce it beyond the borders of America into the countries of Africa or elsewhere? It doesn't matter what the issue, what the animal is. Any kind of an animal, any kind of a country, any kind of a continent. We have American environmentalists. We have first world developed nation environmentalists that will extend their influence and their dictatorial manner to any country in the world and tell them how to live, tell you how to live, even though you are out of the country, in their country, being hosted by them. In this case, Mr. Parsons was in Africa. He was in Zimbabwe being hosted by the people of Zimbabwe. And then, in point of fact, these were a deprived, economically depressed people that he was assisting, believe it or not, by shooting that elephant. Now, you try to get that through the thick head of an American environmentalist. The soft freaking, I said thick head, more like the soft cranium of these people who... They won't make an effort to understand culture. All they understand is Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. That's it, man. That's the extent of their understanding. So this very fine doctor of conservation, Dr. Gray Stafford, there in Litchfield, Arizona, at the Wildlife World Zoo, which, by the way, Doc, what's your zoo doing for those animals lately, huh? Any of them want to get out maybe and maul some customer? I'll tell you, these zoos and these doctors that work for them. So anyway, Bob Parsons, you know, I can only, again, reinforce this message. We have an example of the kind of colonialist thinking that many times liberals will accuse other people of engaging in. And those bastards, I mean, they don't even see it. The irony is so thick, you can cut it with the proverbial knife. The idea that they are presuming to discuss with a starving people in Zimbabwe whether or not they ought to be killing elephants. Oh, we're not telling them. We're telling the American. Oh, I see. So this is a conversation for the adults, huh? And the children don't need to hear it? Is that it? Why don't you go down and engage those people? I got a better idea. If you're an environmentalist, like, and of course, these are not environmentalists, folks. This is Twitter, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, man, I bet half those people, they don't even know how to spell environmentalist.
Good point. You go on Twitter, man, and people are talking about the environment. First of all, learn how to spell it. Here's a great one, man. Why don't you organize something on Twitter, get some money together, go down there and feed those people so they don't have to go and kill elephants.
They're thinking that they hired that guy to come down there and kill an elephant or something?
No, but I mean, Bob Parsons went on an elephant hunt, and he did the most responsible thing I think you could possibly do as a hunter. Well, look, I want to kill an elephant. Yeah. Well, you have a rogue elephant population problem? Yeah. And you have a problem with people, they're starving? Yeah. Let's kill an elephant down there and give them the meat. Sounds good to me. I mean, you couldn't do it any better than that. And, well, we get the statements from the Dr. Litchfield Grays and the Jack Ball this and...
name's Dr. Stafford Gray in Litchfield.
Whatever. That's a wild thing, man. It's wild. You know, I would never want to hunt an elephant. I don't want to hunt an animal because it's my own personal thing. You know, I just want to kill an animal. But I will say that it's a noble pursuit, especially when you do that and someone benefits. And it happens right here in this country, too. Whether there's a hunter who's out in deer season or moose season or any season in between, and they will kill an animal, and the meat generally is donated to some a community of needy people. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Hendry Show. This is a story that we first talked about when it happened, and it's still in the news. There was a woman who was murdered, and the EMT took a picture and posted it on Facebook. Now the parents are suing Facebook. This is going to be a very crucial, key, pivotal lawsuit. And we'll talk about it when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You're talking about a giant beaver. Hold on. All right, we talk about, and I was going to get into this. Maybe I'll get into the Facebook thing, maybe not, because we still have a little bit to talk about. Well, what should I do now, man?
Go ahead and talk about it, man.
The, you know, when we talk about hunting, and I don't want to get too crazy on this, but I wonder where do the natural the natural events of life end and the things that man can control begin? Because there was a mammal hunted to extinction in Australia 40,000 years ago, and it was called the Diprotodon. The Diprotodon, otherwise known as a giant wombat, which Bud thinks is funny.
It is funny.
All right, fine, it's funny. You done laughing?
Yeah, they also call a rhinoceros a wombat.
Yeah, and a giant beaver. I think it's funny.
Anyway, the Diprotodon was one of the largest mammals on Earth. It is was a mammal. It was huge. It was 12 feet long. It was 2 tons. You can imagine that. It's the biggest, ugliest damn thing you've ever seen in your life. They called it the rhinoceros wombat because it had sort of a rhinoceros face. It weighed about as much as a large rhinoceros, and it looked a bit like one from far away, especially if you weren't wearing your glasses. Well, you couldn't wear glasses back in those days because 40,000 years is when it went extinct, and it was hunted to extinction by the Aborigines of Australia.
Yeah, but they needed it for food.
Oh, they needed it for food. Did they really? See, at what point do we have too many people? Who makes that decision? Some doctor at a wildlife zoo in Arizona? Is that what goes on? I love it when these people, again, we have to put this squarely in the camp of the liberals because, and I, you know, God bless you, I hope you enjoy it. Well, you guys know so much. You tell people how to live, how much to eat, what animals to hunt, what animals not to hunt. Who should have this many people? Who should have that many people? You're all over the map, man, telling everybody how to live. You tell us here in the United States what kind of energy we can use, what kind of energy we can't use. But it doesn't end at our borders. I often make the mistake of thinking that, you know, liberals are just as dictatorial as any far-right person you want to think of, any far-right thinking person. But actually, they're more so because they're not only telling us how to live, but the very people that they think they benefit, they're telling them how to live. Don't eat that. Don't eat this. Eat that. Eat those. Don't be friends with him. Don't be friends with that guy. All those people that were benefiting from Bob Parsons killing that elephant in Africa. Well, geez, somebody better send him a telegram, man. You're not supposed to hang out with that guy. He's bad. Some dude cutting into a nice, big, fat elephant steak.
Yeah, I'm going to tell that guy, man. Better not eat that.
Yeah, you go ahead. You go on down there and tell that cat not to eat that. You go down there and tell that guy who's about to bite into a top sirloin elephant...
Porterhouse for two.
Porterhouse for two. Who's about to feed his whole family. See, human beings do what human beings do. Now, some people say, well, it's stupid. People shouldn't do this. And look at what we've done. And look at how we did this. And look at how we did that. Well, all right. So we make mistakes. You know, that's the hallmark of life. The hallmark of life is you misstep. Even people who believe they're saving the planet misstep. Well, you grow so much corn, then something else happens, and something else happens. And we're finding out now that ethanol isn't the way to go because all of that corn, and then the economy is upset somehow, not to mention the environment, because now we find out that when you cut down all of these corn stalks, something else happens, God knows what. I mean, has everybody really thought this thing out? Do you really know what you're doing? The answer is no, you don't. So we move forward based upon our needs, based upon how we can survive. And that begins with food and shelter. That's where it all begins, folks. All of these other marvelous things that we want to talk about, whether it's saving the planet, global warming, saving elephants, saving savings bonds, whatever, all of that stuff is horse dung unless there's food and shelter. Food and shelter. And in the case of the people there in Africa, we're applying our 21st century Americana to a people that are still wrestling with the problems of my God, they're wrestling with the problems of the hunter-gatherer, if you want to get right down to it, because Africa is not an agricultural paradise. It isn't. There's farming there. But it's a very narrow continent. Everything is north-south. You're going from one latitude to the next. You can't, you know, trade crops in Africa. They hunt in that on that continent, you stupid Twitterers. So Australia, not quite the same situation, but this was 40,000 years ago, so they didn't have anybody telling them the right thing or the wrong thing to do. They wanted to eat. Now, the Aborigines lived, as it turns out, on a continent, Australia, that is, for the most part, one big fat desert, man. The fertile areas of that continent all ring the outer part of that big island that we know of as Australia. So when they were down there 40,000 years ago and the land bridge was gone and the oceans filled in and there's just a bunch of Aboriginals and they're hunting and gathering. That's what they did. Well, guess what? They hunted one of these animals to extinction. Hey, it happens.
Yeah, what are they going to do about that on the environmentalists and everything?
I don't know, and I don't care. But they hunted the Diprododon, or the Diprodudio, or I don't know what it's called.
It's called the Dippity-Doo.
What do you mean, the Dippity-Doo?
That's where they got it from. Yeah, they got Dippity-Doo from that.
If you guys are lying to me...
I swear.
The Dippity-Doo. Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Rick Johnson, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, you can pick up our Phil Hendry Show coffee mug today. And check out our website after the show. We'll have our show log up and all that, man. We'll see you tonight. The world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Dippity doo.
That's my famous quote.
Phil Hendry.